Okay, so let's talk about kava today, very exotic herb that has very interesting health benefits. It can help with anxiety and stress. It can make you feel more sociable. It has actually been used since over 3,000 years by the Pacific Island nations as a social drink in a ceremonial way. And there are also studies confirming the signs, and we're learning more about kava. There were some concerns about possible health risks related to kava. So let's talk about a few of these myths and misconceptions to shed some light on this amazing plant. Let's dig into the weeds. Okay, so let's talk about kava today, an herb that I do use sometimes in my clinical practice with clients, not very often. It is not, some of my most used herbs. It has several reasons. It can be a bit expensive for more frequent use. So it's maybe more an herb that you would use occasionally and not on a daily basis. But it does fit in some specific health protocols. It can help people, for example, to get off alcohol. Yeah, if you want to reduce your habit of drinking alcohol daily or too often, then some people switch over to kava and find this an easy way to get out of the spiral, so to say. Because kava has, it has similar effects in some ways. It's also relaxing, can be also used socially, that you feel more sociable and against social anxiety. But it does not make you intoxicated in the way that alcohol does. There is no hangover. So it's completely two different, totally different things. Yeah. But kava can be used, for this goal, for example. And I have recommended it to some clients in that way. Because it is known for that. It can also be used to treat anxiety or to help with sleep problems. It can be used as a muscle relaxant. Yeah, so there are actually many good clinical applications. It's a very effective herb. I mean, you feel it right away, even after 5 minutes, you feel the effect. So it's a fast-acting herb in that way. Yeah. And there have been some concerns. It was banned in Europe for a while. I think in Germany it started that they had some studies and were researching if there is actual liver toxicity caused by kava, if that's actually possible. As far as I know, these studies have been refuted, so there is no study directly proving the link to liver toxicity. There are some there's some research done that found out that, the mistake we did by using kava. So it was actually a very popular, widely used supplement 20 years ago in Europe, in Germany. And it was, sold a lot for anxiety. But of course, we did not use it in the traditional way that these traditional nations have used kava, in a ceremonial traditional way. Yeah, because it is always, of course, a different thing if we take a plant and use it out of context. Then we can, of course, not count on these on this experience with 3,000 years of use of kava. Yeah, if we just decide, okay, so first we use a totally different cultivar. Yeah, there are different plants, different cultivars within kava, and some are called the more noble kava. Yeah, so usually what we should use medicinally is the, or even just for social and relaxation and recreational purposes, should be always the noble kava. And, of course, Westerners come along and say, oh yeah, we use, the cheaper cultivars, or the ones that grow better in this and that climate, or, kind of disregarding the traditional wisdom of which cultivars should be used and are healthy to use. So this is where the whole problem started, by using the wrong cultivars, by also not using the kava in the traditional form. Yeah, so we, of course, in the West, we put kava into capsules, we made extracts that we extracted the kava with solvents, or we just grind up the kava and micronize it. And all these forms have disadvantages. Yeah, so kava has not traditionally been tinctured or extracted in alcohol. in traditional use. Yeah, it has been always made into a tea in a very specific way. So also not just brewing it with hot water, but I come to the how to use it correctly or traditionally in a just in a few minutes. And yeah, it has not been used tinctured in alcohol. It has not been used, of course, extracted with modern solvent techniques. So these are ways that were contributing to the kava being not as beneficial for health or having potential toxicity and side effects, especially a liver damaging effect. Yeah. So taking an herb out of the traditional context is always risky. Yeah, we know this. We have a long history of doing a few of these mistakes. And it's always, yeah, it's the traditional way, of course, is the empirical use of this herb and how it has been used. We can count on these 3,000 years of traditional use. And we can see in these populations that are taking it in the traditional way, that there is not an increase in liver damage or other health concerns, mostly, it seems. So, yeah. So kava, how is it? What is it actually? So it is a plant and we use the root of this plant. So traditionally they dig up the root and shred it, or today it's also often ground up into powder. So I already said it's traditionally brewed as a tea, but not a normal conventional tea. Yeah. So what you have to do to extract the constituents out of the kava, which are fat soluble. Yeah. So they are lipids, these kava lactones. This is what these active constituents of the kava plant are called. So these do not actually dissolve in water because they are lipids. Yeah. So they dissolve in fat. Yeah, so it is good if you just add the shredded root or the powder to some water, and then you could add a little fat. Yeah, so traditionally they add some coconut milk, but you can also first just use the water, and you have to agitate the root. Yeah, so you fill the powder or the shredded root pieces into a kind of a nut milk bag or just a cloth bag, and then you would agitate it in the water. So traditionally for the ceremonies, let's say on Fiji or, you know, Hawaii, Philippines, all these, Vanuatu has like the excellent super noble kava cultivars. So they would have a big wooden bowl and then agitate this little fabric bag with the kava in there in the water for 10 minutes or a bit longer until... And the water is just, you know, room temperature or maybe, yeah, basically room temperature. It could be a little bit warm. If you make it at home, you could use slightly warm water, but boiling water does not have any benefits or any better extraction. So it seems, yeah, that room temperature water is best and traditionally used. You could add a little coconut milk. You can add, of course, at home, you can add your stick blender or a blender to blend it up instead of just mixing it with your hands. So there are different ways, yeah, to make, if you make your kava at home and you don't have this big, nice wooden bowl and the traditional way how it's made. Of course, we can adapt with our modern kitchen appliances and make it a bit easier. So yeah, you could just fill it into your blender and blend it through and then strain it through a fine mesh sieve, or yeah, actually you need a nut milk bag because you have to squeeze it a bit. And what you get in the end is a tea in the broad sense, but, you know, not a tea in the sense that there are many water soluble constituents in it. Yeah, you have more what's called a suspension. Yeah, so you have the particles, yeah, the smaller particles of the kava constituents just floating in the water. Yeah, it is a bit, it looks like muddy water, and honestly it also tastes like muddy water. Yeah, so it's basically really like if you would put earth into water and shake it, you also are not going to dissolve all of the earth. You have a suspension where little particles float around, or with the kava, because these kava lactones are lipid, you could also call it emulsion, which just means like little fat particles kind of suspended in water. And water and oil also don't really mix, but you can, you know, you see that when you make a vinaigrette for your salad, if you mix olive oil and vinegar, then you can mix it for a while a little bit, so it's little droplets floating in the water. So this is basically what the kava tea in the end is. Yeah, it is this emulsion suspension of something that looks pretty much like muddy water. And yeah, so usually in a traditional context, you have these ceremonies for socializing, for relaxing, also for wedding ceremonies, funerals, any occasion where people get together traditionally and sit together and, you know, try to relax, share their worries, talk it out with friends. So this is a bit the social context of using kava. Traditionally. And yeah, they fill it into what's called a shell, a coconut shell, actually, in the traditional way to drink it. And then you drink the shell and you say bula. And yeah, then later you repeat the dose. You pretty much feel it right away. It is really something, yeah, right after drinking, you feel the sensation. Maybe you need a second dose, especially if you have never drank it before, because there is something called a reverse tolerance with kava. So we have that with some herbs. So usually what is more common is actually you get tolerant to some herb or substance. Yeah, you take something and the next time you take it and you want the same effect, you need more. But with kava, we have this reverse tolerance. Yeah, this means you drink kava. Maybe if you drink it regularly every few days or every time on the weekend or whatever, then you would build up what it's called this reverse tolerance. You would actually need less kava or just feel the kava sooner and quicker or with a lower dose. Yeah. So yeah, there's no concerns about building up this tolerance. It's of course better to have this reverse tolerance and to gradually need less of the herb. That's actually a very nice effect. And yeah, so I have used it in the past. So how did I use it in my clinical practice? I already mentioned, you know, if someone wants to stop drinking alcohol every night, even though, you know, even if it's not, people don't consider themselves alcoholics, but, you know, even a drink or two every night can affect your sleep, can affect inflammation in the body, memory, can affect actually many health symptoms, even though that, yeah, many people consider it completely normal, or it is widely socially accepted to drink a drink or two every day. But some people want to stop that and want to ease over. Yeah, if they're not in a very stable place at the moment in their life, yeah, they also kind of need a substance, an herb, something to calm them down, to be able to sleep, to be able to calm their anxiety. Then kava is a really good, easy transitioner out of this daily habit of drinking some other potentially more damaging calming substance like alcohol. So yeah, this is how I would use kava, or yeah, in general for anxiety, more like for acute situations. So kava is of course not an herb that is actually going to cure anything. Yeah, you would still, you know, this is not the episode where you're like, oh, finally I found that miracle herb for my health condition or whatever. No, this is not what kava is going to be. Kava is just a symptomatic in the moment, a relief for your symptoms, yeah, of anxiety or stress, or just for social relaxation and enjoyment. It can be used for pain, you know, the muscle relaxing effect in the body. This can help with many forms of pain like menstrual cramps or tension headaches. So it can to some extent also help with pain, can help you sleep, can help with social anxiety. Yeah, so there are a lot of applications. And I mean, I have a whole episode here on the podcast about the difference between a symptomatic approach and a healing or therapeutic approach, where you actually want to get to the underlying issue. So this is why I don't use kava that often. Also because, yeah, it can be sometimes hard to get or a bit expensive depending where you live. So it's not an herb for daily use, and you would definitely also have to do other things to address the underlying issue, the underlying cause of your anxiety or whatever you are trying to treat or what you're dealing with. Okay, by the way, if you need help, if you want my help in having a personal health consultation with me, you can book a free call. I will post the link directly here into this episode. So go to the episode description and just book a free call on my calendar. Yes, it's totally free. We can talk a 15 to 20 minute call just to say hi, to exchange a few personal words. You can tell me what you're dealing with, what you would like to have help with. And yeah, then we set you up for the health consultations, and I help you to create a personal, specific to you herbal protocol that can help you to really address your problem from different angles, yeah, not only symptomatically, but also addressing more the root cause. But that being said, and I made a whole episode about this, you know, it is also very important that we learn to manage our symptoms on this symptomatic level. Yeah. So if you have a high stress phase, if you suffer from anxiety, it's not useful, you know, to suffer through the anxiety, to not sleep well or whatever. Yeah. You have to address your sleep, your anxiety, your mood. You know, it's important, yeah, that we learn these ways to use herbs also, yeah, to just, you know, have pain relief if you have, a headache or migraine or whatever. Yeah. So we have effective herbs to do this. And the better we learn to use these herbs responsibly, to manage our symptoms, while, of course, we are working on treating the underlying cause and issue. Yeah, I think this is the best combination. Yeah. And there an herb like kava comes in. Yeah. And especially giving the really, you know, so I think kava is actually a very safe herb. Yeah. From what I have read and studied and learned about it. I mean, with all, yeah, with all the back and forth, and some countries have banned it in the past, and all this, you know, there could be potential for liver toxicity or other concerns, it seems a pretty non-toxic, safe herb. Yeah, so it is pretty safe. It seems a pretty safe plant, you know, compared to alcohol that is definitely liver damaging, or something even like Tylenol that is sold over the counter is extremely, or can be extremely harmful to the liver if taken too much in too short intervals. So yeah, it is a very safe plant. So this, you know, that's why it is also used not only with like strict indications for certain health problems, but also a casual recreational use just to relax and enjoy. So, okay, how is it? How does it feel to take kava? I have tried it out for you, so I can give you here my first-hand report. No, I didn't try it out only because of you, but also because I was curious myself, of course. And yeah, I must say, I really like it. I had thought for many years, and I think the legal situation around kava has actually slightly changed in Europe. So it was not possible to buy kava that easily or at all in Europe until, I don't know how long ago, but suddenly it, you know, it appeared on my radar again, and I researched it and I discovered, oh yeah, there are actually online shops selling kava in Europe. It seems to be legal to sell it. It can't be sold for human consumption, but you can buy it if you want to, I don't know, dye your clothes with it, or, you know, use it as a other applications than human consumption, it seems. But of course, no one's gonna really control it. It just can't be advertised as, you know, an herb to take internally. So yeah, drinking kava, so you go through this preparation process of agitating the kava or blending it up and then filtering it. There is actually also one of the mistakes I think we did in the West, it seems, if we took kava out of context, is the making the kava into an extract or just micronizing it, which means that you just grind the root into a very fine powder. But you absorb quite different constituents if you do that. Yeah. So if you have this finely micronized powder of the kava, you're actually taking the whole root, and the fiber seem to be an effect on digestion, or yeah, possibly on your health, that is not so good from the fibrous parts of the kava. So it is really the best way to just drink a water extract, yeah, also called a tea in the way I described, agitating it and ending up with this emulsion or suspension of the kava particles in the water. This seems to be the safest way. Yeah. So micronized powders and extracts are maybe not the best way to go in small doses, and occasionally there might not be any problem. There are also extracts that are made in, or I would say the most reasonable way to make an extract seems to be, and there are kava companies who sell that, they sell an extract powder that is more potent than just, the ground up root that you would make the tea from. So it is that these companies, they make the tea out of the root and then they just dry the tea and dry it back to a powder. Yeah, by this is a normal way to produce herbal extracts. And by that way, you don't have the fiber parts of the plant in the extract. Yeah, you just have what would be in the tea. Yeah, so you're basically just drinking, you have this dried extract, which is basically just dried up tea. Yeah, so this is an extract I have used and tried out. And yeah, you feel it right away. So when you sip on the kava, it doesn't taste great. It tastes a bit peppery, a bit muddy. It is actually, kava is in the pepper family. So I found that really interesting. And yeah, you can feel a bit the peppery taste even in the root. And your mouth immediately goes numb. Yeah, you have a direct effect in the mouth, on the tongue, that you feel this numbing effect. And then really it takes just a few minutes and you feel this body relaxation. If you have had a good dose, you know, it depends. Yeah, depends from person to person how much you need. But if you have the correct dose, you will feel this bodily sensation of relaxation. I remember, actually, I got curious about it. Another herbalist talking about it. It was Rosemary Gladstar. And she said, oh, yeah, she takes her little kava, you know, when she's really nervous before she goes on stage and has to give a speech, you know, in front of hundreds of people. And if she gets a bit of social anxiety and kind of stage fright, then kava is, you know, amazing to just calm her down a little, because it has only this effect mainly on the body. Yeah, mainly this body relaxing effect. And it will not affect your cognitive function or not too much. Yeah, depending on the dose. Yeah, it's not that it makes you drowsy or super tired right away. It has two phases in its action on the body. Yeah, so what you would feel first is this relaxing effect, and then also this uplifting effect that you feel. Yeah, maybe you get more talkative, or you know, more sociable. The social anxiety drops away. So this is the effect Rosemary Gladstar was describing. About her taking kava before she had to deliver a speech or something that she was a bit nervous about. So I was like, okay, you know, this is definitely something I have to try out. This sounds super interesting, and. Yeah, and then there seems to be a second phase once the kava starts to wear off, or you drink another shell. Yeah, that's normally what they would do in a kava ceremony. They drink like a few shells, like maybe, you know, with half an hour in between or so, with a certain time frame in between, and then just, you know, kicking the effect up a bit again before it weans off. But in this kind of fading out of the effect, suddenly you get this relaxation. Yeah, then the more stimulating, uplifting effect is gone and worn off, and you have this relaxation, and maybe, you know, you sleep better, and you would go into this more rest phase of bodily relaxation. So yeah, kava has actually, yeah, and you know, there is no aftermath or hangover or whatsoever. You know, the next day you don't feel any, you're not negatively impacted by drinking kava the night before. And yeah, it can be really a kind of, yeah, quite magical social atmosphere, you know, where you maybe sit around with some friends and share it, learn together about the ceremonial way of drinking kava, learn about the other cultures and the kava plant itself, and have this as a moment to share with your family or loved ones. And I think that's a really beautiful way actually to use it recreationally and to, yeah, open your heart and talk it out. Yeah, if that's what you want. Yeah. And so kava, it shouldn't be, you shouldn't drink it together with alcohol or other medications, of course. Yeah, just as a to complete the disclaimer. Yeah, of course, there could be no herb or substance should be used like in too high quantities or too often or on an everyday basis. But yeah, it's also not, you know, there's some misconceptions about it. You know, sometimes it's called that it's hallucinogenic or psychedelic or whatever. Yeah, there is a big difference, you know, between psychoactive or psychotropic and psychedelic. Yeah, so kava is not psychedelic. It's not hallucinogenic. Yeah, you don't get any weird, not real perceptions. It has an effect on the mind because it has this effect on the central nervous system, and it is calming. So this is why it's called psychoactive, but it's not a psychedelic. The way I prefer to mix it up is actually with a bit of coconut milk. So I use these extract powders, but I could also, or I also have the normal kava to make a traditional extraction. That's also a way. Then you have to drink a bit more of the liquid, yeah, or the extract can also be a way, yeah, to just make it a bit more concentrated. So coconut milk, a bit of cinnamon, and a bit of maple syrup is usually a good mix to mask the taste a bit. Also, traditionally, they eat a piece of fruit afterwards, so you get this muddy, peppery taste out of your mouth, or can, yeah, just cut the taste a bit with a fruit chaser. So this is how they would traditionally drink it and have a piece of fruit afterwards. Yeah, so there are, I already mentioned these kava lactones. Yeah, so the kava lactones are these active constituents in the kava, and there are several of them that have slightly different or affect different systems in the body. Yeah, they can affect our serotonin, our dopamine. Yeah, they are can be sedative, or yeah, make us a bit more happy, uplifting, mood boosting, chilling, more chilled, pain relief. So yeah, the different kava lactones have slightly different effects, but of course they work together, and we're not, usually not using these kava lactones in an isolated way, which would be also going very far from the traditional use, and then, you know, then we don't know what's going to happen. So if we get just the broad spectrum natural spectrum kava, we get a bit of all of these. And of course there are cultivars, so different plants, different cultivars. Some are a bit more more heavy and a more physical sensation. Others are a bit more uplifting, and they have more this heady, this effect on the mind. So there are differences between different kava powders that you can buy. Just look, yeah, like for high quality, for noble kava, for maybe more closer to the traditional way of kava being used traditionally, and not necessarily capsules or tinctures, I would say. So definitely a water extraction, definitely, yeah, some kind of way that you can make kava into a tea would be probably the most beneficial way to take it. Okay, so I will drop you a few links here in the description. I have tried kava from a few of these suppliers that sell in Europe. I also put a link probably for where you can buy it if you live in the US. There are several options. Of course, you can very easily get it, actually very good high quality, in New Zealand and Australia. They're different brands. Actually, they have more products because, yeah, it's kind of locally produced in the islands that are close by, more close by to Australia, New Zealand, etc. But as I said, you can, yeah, pretty much get it anywhere. It's a bit more on the expensive side, so, but you know, that's fine. It's a traditional herb that is mainly for traditional ceremonial use, and yeah, we can be glad that we also have it for occasional use, and yeah, to benefit from the anti-stress, anti-anxiety effects. One more little detail: it has actually been tested in studies. It has been compared to anxiolytic pharmaceuticals, like, you know, anti-anxiety remedies like Xanax or others. So it has been compared, it has compared really well to some pharmaceuticals with, you know, almost the same kind of effect and anxiety relieving qualities that these drugs offer. But of course, you know, you're dealing with a natural herb. It's almost always safer and less toxic than being on a pharmaceutical. So it's nothing that you would risk, you know, to directly switch over, yeah, and replace it. This can always be risky. Yeah, you have to always kind of really learn how to use this herb first. You have to probably do other things in your overall health protocol to really make this work. It's never like, you know, that there's this one herb that is the miracle herb for your specific health situation. Yeah, I can only repeat this over and over because, you know, this is what we're all, you know, me included in, you know, 10 years ago, like, hey, you know, where is the miracle herb that is this one thing that is just, you know, resolving all my problems? It's not like that. Yeah, it also, herbs never have the same kind of intense forced action that pharmaceuticals do. So it might not be comparable in many cases. It might not be comparable and just, yeah, being able to replace any drug or pharmaceutical. So I can, yeah, I can really just warn of, you know, immediately suddenly stopping any prescription medications that you are on. So, you know, but I still want to mention, want to be able to safely mention these studies. So there have been studies done. It is promising. It is very interesting, of course, if we have an herb in its natural form that we could use instead of a pharmaceutical, you know, then, yeah, that is, of course, a very exciting, interesting possibility that is worth exploring, maybe. Yeah, so if I can help you in a personalized health consultation, reach out to me, book your free call so you can talk to me and we can see what we can do together, and I can help you create your health supporting herbal protocol. Also, if you would like to come to the classes, at the moment I have one live class a month, so we can actually talk to each other in a live Zoom class, and it's really nice. We have some very nice people in the group that are very eager to learn and, you know, trying out herbs. In the end, we have a Q&A part where we can share our experimentation with herbs, our experiences, and yeah, we learn about exciting topics. If you sign up in the Ko-fi link that I'm also posting here in the description, you get access already to all the recorded classes that we have had so far, so you have a big library of classes to study deeper, to, yeah, see photos of the herbs on the slides that I create with a bit of information, and yeah, some more concrete dosages and just a bit more detail that I can, than what I can give you here on the podcast. So if you want to learn more about herbs, dive in, sign up, come to the next class. We had just a class about Ayurvedic herbs. Next class is about Chinese herbs, and then we're going to talk about herbal oils, yeah, so infused oils and all kinds of different ways of making and using herbal oils. A very interesting topic. So yeah, sign up, come to the classes, or reach out to me, have a look at my website, herbalhelp.net. There's also a contact form where you can write me an email through the contact form or directly to my email, tamara@herbalhelp.net. Yeah, I'm looking forward of hearing from you, and until next time, bye-bye.